Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We will go some different directions today. Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us from South Point. As always, we'll talk with Jimmy about the upcoming NFL playoffs this weekend. I have this burning desire about the playoffs, as told, but I have some interest in some of the teams. I'm interested to see how Buffalo performs because that is a great story. It was great last week watching the Bills players in the locker room and the Bills fans stand in the concourse to see how a game would end, whether or not they'd make the postseason. I thought that was great. I am interested to see how the Rams look in postseason. But really, by and large, am I going to watch Jacksonville and Tennessee on a 75-degree weekend when they play their games? Absolutely not. It's just not happening. Doesn't mean I'm not committed to the job. There's a thing called a DVR. So in real time, heck no. Heck no. We'll talk with Jimmy, too, about the national championship game between Georgia and Alabama. The View from Vegas with Jimmy Vaccaro. That comes up in about 15 minutes. Goody at the movies today. AZ Central, Gannett chief film and media critic, Bill Goodykoontz, on the movie The Post. He's also going to talk about hostilities with Christian Bale. So The Post, I'm really looking forward to seeing. I may, in fact, it's only showing at Camel View starting tomorrow. And I'm not going to give away the whole deal, but it looks like my kind of movie. Something that's really deep and interesting on the media front. And Tom Hanks is in it, and it's got a great cast. So we'll talk with Bill about that. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Sagicor Now. Guys, you need life insurance. Have you thought about your life insurance sitting here on the fourth day of January? You may not have. You may have been checked out. You can't be checked out when it comes to life insurance and taking care of your family. Protect what matters most. Log on to Sagicor Now. Get your free quotes. Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor Now and their support. Those of you watching on AZ Central Sports, thanks for being with us. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sesmatt Football AZ, on before and after the Coyotes game tonight. I think the story of the day came out of Matt Scott's mouth. Remember Matt Scott, Eric, the U of A quarterback?
And I do. I do.
Matt Scott, former three-star recruit, California, played at Arizona. He is now wondering why Sean Miller was not fired for getting away with paying players. It's a completely different situation than what's going on with Rich Rodriguez from my point of view. And the investigation into Sean Miller and the whole basketball side of things has been kept quiet and underground. But it's kind of interesting to see a former player like that show up. There are quite a bit of rumors and rumblings around the Rich Rodriguez and who's going to be next to replace him. Just the overall Rich story, the sordid details came out yesterday. Craig Harris at AZ Central did a terrific job, as usual, in digging deep and finding out stuff that was like, really? You're asking an assistant to go get you underwear? You're stretching your manhood out in front of her? I mean, you're doing things. Come on. Now, again, as I've said in past, when it comes to reports, they are just that, reports. So there's the other side of the street within the coaching fraternity of people whose opinions I really trust that say that she is just full of bleep on this. However, in the court of public opinion, where Rich Rod is being judged harshly, I thought the Diamondbacks being involved in the story yesterday afternoon and last night was somewhat interesting about the husband of this lady and trying to get him a job, and he didn't get the job with the Diamondbacks, and Ken Kendrick, and what are we doing here? Why are all these teams, why is all this stuff involved? I know that Ken Kendrick and Rich Rod are tight, really, really close, but I didn't need to see Diamondbacks tied into this story with Rich Rod yesterday and quotes from the owner about it, but that's Ken. That is Ken. Ken is going to go to the mat to protect his closest of closest. Even Derek Hall was in that story.
These allegations are just seedy. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. And if you listen to the whispers and believe the rumors, these Rich Rodriguez transgressions go back to his days at West Virginia with him allegedly sleeping with the cheerleader and all these other things. So if there's, you know, the old adage, where there's smoke, there's fire. We don't know about that. But this isn't the first time Rich Rodriguez has come under hot water, at least scrutinized for some things that he may or may not have done.
I was talking to a college assistant today, this morning. And this college assistant was at a coaching convention in the bar afterwards, having a few pops, talking, and ladies were coming up to Rich Rod, throwing themselves at him and were saying things that were very suggestive, and coaches at the table had to shoo them away and escort them away. That's what happens. This whole deal about being around power, it doesn't matter. Scandals happen. There was a big one that happened in high school this last year in the Southeast Valley. Now there's a scandal that has happened around U of A off the field. I can't speak to off the field, but I can speak to what we saw on the field out of the U of A. And I can speak to this side of it with Rich Rodriguez. I've always found Rich Rodriguez to be very charming, be very upfront, be very manipulative of the media and understand his place. I think for what he had to work with in Tucson, I admired that and respected that. But when he went after the South Carolina job and his name was attached to the Louisville job, it always seemed to me to feel as though he was trying to get a foot out, or it maybe have already had a foot out of Tucson and was trying to go to something else, somewhere else. And I think he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. He's going to move on, and he's got things he'll have to work through in life. Life happens, right? But can he go and step out onto a broadcast set and look in the camera and do his thing? No question about it. And over the course of time, time heals wounds. We'll see where this all plays out. Eric, you said this yesterday. I agree with you on it. He will come up for air at some point, and he'll be just fine. Bobby Petrino can get a job once again. Anybody can get a job once again in the world of college football or just sports in general.
And even, Brad, I was thinking yesterday, even some of the things that we sort of laughed off as, oh, that's just Rich Rod being Rich Rod, may have irked the university. Like at Pac-12 Media Days every single year when he openly talks about in front of the media about how much he doesn't want to be there and how this is a joke and how
I hate this.
And this could be an extra week off for myself and my staff before the grind of the season. I mean, maybe these little things that we thought were just, ha-ha, ooh, we love the brutal honesty of Rich Rod, maybe those also sort of, he kind of started digging his own grave with these little pot shots and how he handled the staff and how he was a dictator. I'm sure all those little things may have added up to the dam breaking on Tuesday night.
Okay, how much this goes back to Greg Byrne? And you and I like Greg. I would consider Greg a friend. But I'm just one of those guys that even in friendships, you have to look at someone and say eye to eye. And I would hope they would do the same thing with me. You're screwing up. You know, did Greg know? And people would say, well, Greg got out just in time. It was Alabama that called. Come on. This wasn't Appalachian State that called. This isn't, well, I got to get out of here. Whew. Oh, man, Alabama came along. Boy, did that save me. No, this isn't going from Washington State to Oregon State. This was Alabama called. You have to go. So I don't know if I necessarily buy into that, but there's no question there's been a run of bad stuff within the athletic department at the University of Arizona. Anybody who denies that, you're just simply wearing red and blue, as I'm doing today, even though I didn't go there. I can already get the hate mail. It's coming. I didn't even notice it until I looked up at the screen. I'm not saying bear down, but it's fine. In terms of who the next coach would be in Tucson, I just feel as though an established coach is going to keep having his eye on what else is out there, that it's going to be a stepping stone job. Rich Rodriguez was an established brand who went from West Virginia to Michigan, who'd bailed out and came down here. And after, like, what was it, 3-4 years, he started looking around saying, what can I do to get out of here? Look, we've had a lot of turnover this year in the Pac-12. Look at all the coaches that have been let go within the Pac-12 this year, or that have moved on from within the Pac-12 this year. Oregon, Oregon State, UCLA, Arizona, Arizona State, five coaches that have come and gone. That's a ton of turnover within 1 year in the conference. You look around the rest of the conference, Kyle Whittingham's name is always out there as somebody that could move on. Colorado, maybe in trouble, maybe not. Chris Peterson, solid. David Shaw, solid. Mike Leach, totally up in the air. You don't know what's going to happen. Cal just changed. USC, Clay Helton. So, you know, you go down the list of the conference and you say, where does the U of A rank in terms of great jobs within the Pac-12 conference? Where does it rank? And it's not a great job on one hand because the facilities are still behind. Lowell Stevens is nice, but you go down there and there's still dumpy parts to the stadium. There are. It is a basketball school still. We'll see about that through the scandal and what happens if there is another shoe to yet drop. I don't think it's the worst job. The worst job within the Pac-12, Eric, it would have to be Cal, Oregon State.
I'd say Oregon State.
And I love going to Corvallis because there's a Dutch Bros right across the street. It's all about priorities, guys. But it feels like you're at Chandler High School when you're at Oregon State. It's a cool little college town. Washington State, heck, Mike Leach has hung out up there, and there's no good reason to be in Pullman. Pullman is a dump. If you're from Pullman or you're watching Pullman, it's a dump. It just is. The ASU job, been a mirage. Just been a mirage. You know, anybody who tries to tell me it's the greatest job within the conference, why haven't they not won? Why are they just above 500 since Jake Plummer in the Rose Bowl against Ohio State? Go look up the number. All right, Jimmy Vaccaro's next. We're going to focus in on the championship game in college football and the NFL playoffs this weekend. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. Tonight, television show on Fox Sports Arizona across all of Arizona, New Mexico, even into Las Vegas. I have people that send me Snapchats from Vegas showing us up on the big screens there. You can check out Brad Sussmat Football AZ. Our daily show, we partner with AZ Central Sports and Sports360AZ.com. Up to Vegas now we go, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director. It's Jimmy Vaccaro. It's always good to catch up with Jimmy because we have on Monday night, Georgia and Alabama. Jimmy, how big of a buzz is there in Vegas about this one?
This is a good one, make no mistake about it. As long as Alabama's involved, there's always going to be some big uprising. And this will be no different. And, naturally, here we are, the last two, what we consider the best two teams in the country. You know what, Brad? Great two-way action so far. We opened the game Alabama, a four-point favorite. And within 45 minutes, we were up to 4.5 and wow, taking a lot of money minus to 4. But this set, we are down back to minus 3.5 in Alabama. There's been a lot of Georgia money show. So when you get an early indication like this that there's a lot of early money, you'll know to come Saturday and Sunday, even though the game is on Monday, with all the tourists in town. They'll have a ticket in their pocket on the way out the door. Make no mistake about that one. It's going to be a good one.
What would it look like if Oklahoma had played in this game rather than Georgia against Alabama from Vegas's view?
Personally, I would have rather seen Oklahoma, basically a brand-new team and not two teams coming from the same part of the country. It has a little bit of an effect there. There's more cash with the Oklahoma team, especially with Baker Mayfield and the new young coach or whatever, although there were some mistakes made there. But I thought it would have been a little bit different, maybe 5 to 10%, which, you know, is enough to say it'll make a difference, but it's not enough that's going to change the enthusiasm about the game.
You got to head to the South Point Casino Resort. Jimmy Vaccaro will be there. You will see him doing his thing. And, of course, the VSiN Network, they have their studio right there. It's great stuff with Brent Musburger. Tennessee at Kansas City. Let's go through the four NFL games. Tennessee at Kansas City, Jimmy.
Very easy with these four home teams. There's going to be a lot of money on it with parlays and teasers. Kansas City, make no mistake about it, they've drawn the early attention with everything that I just mentioned. Open the game 7.5. The points for it is now Kansas City 8. Probably we'll see it climb a little bit higher come game time.
Having Los Angeles in the postseason's got to be good.
Yeah, it sure is, buddy. I would like to see the Rams in the Super Bowl talking about a West Coast flavor. That would be super for us. The Rams opened a 6-point favorite, but a tick down. Atlanta Falcons, who obviously played well the last month, have drawn some attention on the straight bet. So we're down to 6 with the Rams in this one.
Buffalo at Jacksonville. It's great to have the Bills back in the postseason. Not sure about great for business, but Bills, Jacksonville.
Not bad, only because what an ending that they had with the Bengal game to put them there. Jacksonville, very good team. We'll know that they'll come out in fourth, and we also know that they'll get the portion of the money, a lot more money than Buffalo. Open the game, Jacksonville Jaguars, 7.5-point favorite. Straight bets, we're up to 8, my friend, and see that one climb, too.
Carolina at New Orleans to finish out the weekend, Jimmy.
Yeah, opened up Saints, a 6-point favorite. This one's nothing but Saints money early. We're up to 7 with it, my friend.
I'll let you go off that. Thanks, Jimmy, as always.
All right, buddy.
Take care. There's Jimmy Vaccaro right there in Vegas, South Point Casino Resort. Tonight, we have ASU and U of A playing college basketball. Now, typically in years past, we have found this to be a very slow sports time of year if there is not a Cardinal team that's in the postseason. Taking all the coaching stuff out of the mix, you know, what are the Cardinals going to do? Carson retires, Larry's future, Rich Rod. I could fill hours and hours and reams and segment after segment on all that stuff. Typically, this time of year, it turns into, well, will U of A be interesting? Yeah, but it's January. Yeah. But now, for the first time since I've been here, 20-plus years, the fourth-ranked Arizona State Sun Devils play tonight at Colorado at 6:30. At 7 o'clock tonight, the 14th-ranked Arizona Wildcats with the number one player in the draft, in my opinion, I would take DeAndre Ayton over Marvin Bagley. That's just me. The 14th-ranked Arizona Wildcats play at Utah. That game on ESPN. So tonight is one of those nights where the Sesmat family is going to have to put up with me watching two really good games, I'm hoping. Or I may go to an establishment, reach out to a friend or two and say, hey, let's just go hang out and watch hoops tonight. So I'm really looking forward to tonight. I am. Because the Sun Devil, just because they lost to the U of A, if you didn't go to the game, that was one of the best games, just games, basketball games I've seen. It just was on so many levels. And the Sun Devils only dropped one spot. Watching DeAndre Ayton and the University of Arizona, there's none better when it comes to a big man in the high school or college game. I'm hooked. If I know that there is I went and watched a 7'3" kid last week during the break out at the Visit Mesa tournament. Had to go see him. And he was pretty good. He's pretty good. Probably going to Washington State from the way it sounds. But, you know, Trey Holder said something really interesting, and we had heard this when I got down to Tucson. Jordan and I went down last Saturday. Got down there, got in the arena about 5:30, and I was talking to some of the people with Arizona State about how Michael Phelps came in to speak to the team the day before. So Bobby Hurley, about 2 weeks back, when the team was rolling after they beat Kansas, and this is why Bobby Hurley is going to be one of the best at what he does. It's probably something he picked up from Mike Krzyzewski or from his coach, his dad, when his dad was doing his thing. Do not get too high when things are great. Do not get too low when you go through adversity. Seems pretty simple, right? Michael Phelps comes in and he talks to the Arizona State basketball team last week before they played the Wildcats. All this national attention. And Trey Holder said, and I heard this, too, from the people who are in the room. Trey Holder said yesterday that he heard Phelps talking about how you learn more from your losses, that Phelps learned more from his losses than he did from his wins. Look, we sit here in sports, we come up with all these commitment to winning, commitment to excellence, commitment to incompetence, whatever it is. I'll use the commitment to incompetence line with the Raiders because they're all so bad. But a guy like Michael Phelps comes up with, you learn more from your losses than you do from your wins. And Phelps talked about a time that he lost to somebody and it made him laser focused and get much more into it. And then Trey Holder brought that up yesterday. Phelps talked to the team for 45 minutes. One of the players talked to him, I believe it was Shannon Evans, I was told. Shannon Evans asked him about his diet. What does he eat? How does he take care of himself? So really cool that Bobby Hurley has that in his bag that he can say, I'm going to call Michael Phelps. Can you come in and talk to the team? He does. And now we'll see tonight. Look, when you travel on the road in the Pac-12 conference, and you go to Colorado, a team that is 11th in the conference in three-point shooting percentage, ASU should win tonight. That's not a good number against a team that likes to shoot the ball from the outside. I'll be interested to see if our buddy Jake Plummer is courtside tonight. He usually shows up at every Arizona State basketball game. It's right down the street from where he lives. Colorado's 8-6. Sun Devils are ranked 4th. Bounce back game, or do you go up there and do you lay an egg and all of a sudden all the good talk, you lose to Colorado, you're going to drop from 4 to a long, long ways down. Good teams pick it up, turn the page, blow them out, move on. The Arizona game tonight. So the Wildcats are ranked 14th. They play at Utah. Huntsman Center is not an easy place. Eric, have you ever been there? You ever been to Utah?
I have.
That's not an easy place. It's not the Pit. I think the Pit in Albuquerque is the toughest place I've ever done a game from. Straight down under the ground. But Huntsman Center, they pack them in there.
They do.
And Krestowiak's a pretty darn good coach. Doesn't get a whole lot of love. Doesn't get a whole lot of attention.
Yeah, Utah is just a solid program. I mean, they're just they're in the tournament every year. They're at or near the top of the Pac-12. They're just he knows how to recruit and the right type of players to recruit to fit that system with the Utes.
Okay, so they're 11-3. They're 2-0. So tonight you're going to have DeAndre Ayton at Utah. You're going to have a coach, a big man who knows this is how you play defense against a big like DeAndre Ayton. We're going to start seeing some gimmicks, Eric, I think. Like Hurley the other night when Romello White couldn't stick with DeAndre Ayton, they went small for a bit late in the game. And I'll be interested to see if that's how they come back when they play them up here. Ayton still finished with 23-19. They had no answer.
Well, and
no one has.
So yeah. it's not like ASU is the only team that has had problems with a gigantic man child of a freshman who, thankfully for everyone else in the Pac-12, won't be in the Pac-12 at this time next year.
No. But when it comes to March, I'd love to see Duke and U of A in the same bracket. Now, people say Duke, U of A in the national championship game. Come on, guys. It's Arizona. You know they're going to lay an egg. You just know it. That's the way it works with that program. It's the way it's always worked with that program. It's a fact. Until they prove me wrong, it's just you expect them to lose where they shouldn't. It's like Arizona State. I think they've come a long ways. I think they're a pretty darn good basketball team. 4th ranked in the nation. Sounds great. But when you live by the three, you will die by the three unless you can develop some sort of interior game. And I didn't see enough out of Arizona State, out of Romello White or Mickey Mitchell to make me believe they've got it figured out. Eric wanted to weigh in here.
Test. There I go. I'm back now. Wow, yeah, that was
stuff happens. Stuff happens.
Technology. I'll ask you the same question I asked a couple of my buddies at dinner last night.
Yeah, sure.
How many losses will Arizona State finish with in the conference by the time we get to the Pac-12 tournament? We had a great discussion about this last night at dinner.
So you know they're not playing at UCLA and at USC.
Yes.
So right there is an advantage for them.
Yes.
But they're going to stub their toe along the way at places at a place that they shouldn't stub their toe.
Much like U of A does at Oregon State.
Yeah, something.
Every other year they go up there. It's late in the Pac-12 season, and it's a Sunday night game at 8 o'clock, and they don't play well, and they lose, and everyone thinks the sky's falling.
But. Right. I would say they'd probably lose 4 to 5 games.
You and I are in lockstep with that prediction. Yeah. I think they're going to lose 5 games.
Like, I can't pick them to win up here when and for those of you that are thinking we're just all ASU on this, ASU's the better story. They are. There's a reason why all I talk about is DeAndre Ayton. I've seen Trier go through 0-for-6 like he did the other night in the first half. Go look at the numbers. He wasn't good. But then he turned it on in the second half, actually towards the end of the first half. Raleigh Alkins made some very poor decisions, I thought, for somebody who gets so much hype and so much attention. That's a 7-man rotation that Sean has to work with. You know, for Arizona State, Kamani is going to come on board for them at some point. And I think that that's a player that could be a difference maker for them. I think Bobby's got to coach differently against Ayton. You know, Eric, you can't just say, oh, we're doomed because they have somebody bigger than us. You just have to try to find some different things. If it's going small, if it's using Daquan Lake and Romello White together on February 15th, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but looking at that game. And I've said it before, those two teams are going to meet in Vegas in the semifinals or the finals. It's just the way the conference is shaping up this year. UCLA is not that good. They lost 3 players. USC's got all sorts of internal stuff going on. They just stripped Metu of his captaincy. I don't see anybody else that is way over the top, far and away ahead of everyone else. If U of A can figure out a way to have Trier not do 0 for 6s and Ayton get his 23 and 14, 23 and 10, then U of A should be the favorite this year. They really should. So two quarterbacks turned pro yesterday, which helps out the Arizona Cardinals. Very excited about this bit of news. We will get to that on the other side with the combine just 5-6 weeks away. There's some news there on the NFL front that we'll get to after this time out. Then Good Eat the Movies. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, we'll have Good Eat the Movies coming up in about 10 minutes, and we'll talk about The Post. Very much looking forward to that movie coming out this week and talking to Bill. So yesterday, Josh Rosen announced that he's turning pro at UCLA, and Sam Darnold announced that he's turning pro at USC. Both guys coming out for the NFL draft. The Arizona Cardinals sit there at 15. Do you have a preference, Eric, over either one of those two? I don't believe either one will be there when the Cardinals pick at 15.
Another great question my friends and I had at dinner last night. Yeah. If you could pick one quarterback for the Cardinals, who would it be? This is what I told them. Of those two that you mentioned,
yeah,
I would rather have Josh Rosen. I think he is the most ready right now. I think Darnold has really good upside, and it's going to depend, Brad, on what the Cardinals, as you mentioned. I mean, they finished 8-8. They're just no man's land. They're in the desert.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to probably have to, if they have their eye on someone, like last year they had their eye on Patrick Mahomes, they're going to have to move up to make that happen.
Okay, so if we're going to go through this, if it's me, I take Rosen as well. But you have Cleveland taking they have the number one overall pick. And you figure as though they've burned so many picks on quarterbacks, but they're going to pick a quarterback again.
And the third overall pick. So they're really in a great position for leverage, because if there are teams looking to move up, I mean, they can get, they're guaranteed to get the player they want.
Fourth pick. Yeah, fourth pick.
And they have the potential to swing a trade to fleece a team of players and draft picks, because there's other teams like the Cardinals that are down in the middle of the draft that probably want to move up.
With that fourth pick, you could. You mean, you could take a quarterback. I'm always a believer in trading down when you have a high pick. I don't think that if you have a high pick, it means your team wasn't good, and you're not going to solve it by getting just one player. So you're better off trading from 1 to 5 and picking up another second or a couple seconds. You're just better off adding more assets from a draft strategy. So the Browns are going to take a quarterback at 1. The Giants, you know, is Eli over? The Giants are going through a major transformation now. Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold on the big stage in New York seems to me to make a lot of sense. You have the Colts at 3. Andrew Luck's health. Is Andrew Luck happy being there? Is there some questions about Andrew Luck's future in Indianapolis? There's no question about it, and they're going to get a new coach. Then you have the Browns with that pick. 5, you have the Broncos. Broncos spent the pick on Paxton Lynch last year. Are they going to become that team that says, you know what, we've got to take somebody every season? The Jets are sitting there talking about bringing Josh McCown back at 6. Okay, you got to figure there's a quarterback coming there, and every year the Jets take a quarterback, it feels like, in some way, shape, or form. Once you get past Darnold and you get past Rosen, if it's me, I'm going off eyeball, guts, all that stuff. I look at Baker Mayfield. There's others that really like Lamar Jackson that high. Lamar Jackson finished in the Heisman Trophy race. He won it, and then he finished in the conversation again this last year. How can you go wrong with him? There's going to be ways that they pick him apart. Tampa Bay at 7, what is Jameis Winston's future? I mean, really, what is Jameis Winston's future? Peter brought this up a couple weeks ago about Mariota and Winston have been two guys that really haven't come through. Yeah, then you have the 49ers. Okay, so you're sitting there with a quarterback who controls his destiny in Garoppolo with his contract. Garoppolo went 5-0 as a starter. He's got Kyle Shanahan there. It just feels like he's going to be there, so they don't need a quarterback. Then you have the Raiders. You're going to have John Gruden who comes in. John Gruden's going to get that team ready to go to Las Vegas. This is going to be, in my opinion, a bye year for him. So when you have a bye year, you could say, you know what? I'm not a big David Carr guy or Derek Carr guy. I'm just not.
But I would think they'd keep Derek Carr.
I would think they would.
I think there's a lot more to like about Derek Carr than to dislike.
Okay, so then you go over to Miami, And then you go to the Bengals and you go to the Redskins. And all those situations can change. Is Andy Dalton's time run out in Cincinnati? Is Kirk Cousins going to leave? Are they going to leave Kirk Cousins behind in Washington?
Yeah, you got Jay Cutler in Miami. So lots of question marks.
So then you have Green Bay that's sitting there at 14. And we saw what happened this year with Brett. Although they fired their OC, they fired their quarterback coach. They're bringing in a new general manager. Could they take a quarterback? And then that brings you to the Cardinals at 15. So if you're sitting there in the Cardinals, you figure four or five of these guys are going to be gone. I myself can't believe that Josh Allen would be the guy here from Wyoming. I saw Josh Allen against Oregon get absolutely annihilated. Could not hang on to the ball. Had to run for his life. Yeah, he's big. Yeah, he's got a big, strong arm. I'm going off one body of work. I'm sorry. Apologize up front.
Well, and you don't have to because he didn't play well against better competition. I mean, that's just, it's a black and white situation with him. He was great in the Mountain West, but when he had to go up against the Pac-12 schools and some of the bigger schools, he did not perform admirably. And again, that's not the end all of end alls because we have the combine coming up, and you know how much the combine can help.
Sure.
Can help or hurt a player, especially the measurables and the intangibles and all those other adjectives that you hear this time of year when it comes to the NFL draft.
Yeah. I mean, I feel as though yesterday was a really good day for the Cardinals.
Absolutely.
It was a win day. And so you figure at 15, and with Cleveland sitting there at 4, if I'm Steve Keim, I've already shown that I can get a deal done. I got Chandler Jones here basically for a bag of rocks if you look at that deal top to bottom, in my humble opinion. Now, in the last couple of years, has Steve Keim swung and missed with Robert Kimdiche? That was a big swing and miss. DJ Humphries was on scholarship. I think DJ's got some potential, but he got hurt. Hassan Reddick this year showed a few things, but not, I wouldn't say that it was anything over the top, like, wow, they hit another home run here. And you look at the issue at wide receiver, can you make the argument of, well, we could take a quarterback a little bit later on? This team needs, I'm sorry to say this from a business, I'm just talking business standpoint. This team needs a buzz of some sort outside of Larry Fitzgerald. David Johnson will be back. And David Johnson had some of that buzz factor, but there's going to be this whole, will he be at 100%? Will he be the same player? You're going to hear that narrative. When you have a team that relies pretty much on Larry Fitzgerald and Chandler Jones this year emerged as, you can make an argument, a real strong argument, he could be the defensive player of the NFC this year. Tyrann Mathieu, star not as shiny as it once was, still a good name. Patrick Peterson goes out and does his thing. The league is built on stars. It's not built on Joe Sixpack hardcore fan that watches every week. For this team to have big success, you have to pull in the fringe fans. And there hasn't been that, in my view, the last few years. When I go out and speak, and most of the questions don't have to do with the Arizona Cardinals because there's a fatigue over the same group being together. And can you make the argument, too, that, look, Eli Manning could be available, Andrew Luck could be available, and you could take this first-round pick and spend it on somebody else? You'd probably have to go a different direction with that first-round pick. No, yesterday was a good day. Goody at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, at least right now, in 5 minutes it'll all change due to social media. Time for Goody at the Movies. AZ Central, Gannett Chief Film and Media Critic Bill Goody-Kunz. Aspiring talk show host, too, on the radio side, I must admit, too. Right?
That'd be fun.
You'd be good at it, I think. When are you going to start doing this?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just one of those people that's an okay guest but isn't meant to host. I remember when I used to do TV, Martin Short was always, they gave him a TV talk show.
Yeah.
And the way that they touted it was he's such a great guest that, you know, we got to give him his own show. And they gave him his own show, and it turned out he was just a great guest. When he had to actually sort of run the thing, which he acknowledged, you know. So.
Well, look.
It's sort of an art to being a good TV show guest.
I'll give you a lifeline here. You know, once a week, sometime down the road, Just come in here and do it for a month. For, you know, I'll walk out. Yeah. It's all you. Just you.
Just walk out.
Just, I'll just walk
in
out.
On the other side of the glass.
It's all you. Swim or swim. You know, you're not going to sink. You'll be fine. All right, so let's get into this. I'm so looking forward to seeing the post. And it's going to show at Camel View. Yeah, it's going to be a Camel View. I have not been to the new Camel View. I've driven by it. But I'm going to go tomorrow with my wife. She doesn't know this yet, but I've just decided I'm going to go see the post with Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep. And Steven Spielberg's part of this deal. What do you make out of the post?
I loved it. For me, and I'm not going to have to, it was in my top 10. It wasn't the best movie of the year, but man, it might be the most important. It's about the Pentagon Papers, which was, you know, in 1971, the New York Times published Daniel Ellsberg had stolen from and copied little bits at a time so they wouldn't catch him. This report that went all the way back to the end of World War II about that was basically covering up how badly Vietnam was going, and you know, and Ellsberg gave it to the New York Times, and they published it, which was huge. I mean, it sparked riots, and the Washington Post was at that time still pretty much a regional paper trying to get into the big leagues, and it made Ben Bradley, the editor, mad. This was, remember, this is before Watergate, and the Nixon administration went to court, and they ordered the New York Times to stop publishing these stories.
Mm.
And Ben Bradley thought, well, hey, they didn't say anything to us. Why don't we publish them? Unfortunately for the publisher, Catherine Graham, they're about to take the company public, and they thought that the scandal could like really ruin the paper, bankrupt the paper. And these are known facts. It's, you know, there's not really a spoiler alert, but Steven Spielberg directed it, and Hanks and Streep, of course, are great. And it's just, it's riveting, and it's what the media doesn't do anymore. At the risk of the entire business, they did the right thing. And in that way, it's nostalgic, but it's also a real fight for the First Amendment, and that's what's going on right now, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, it is important. It's really exciting. It's a great thriller, even though you know how it turns out. I mean, it's good.
To those that may think this is pretty dry and pretty drab, what do you say to them? They're not journalism students. They're not J students. They don't read and consume. You and I are in the middle of the forest on this. We would eat this up all day long. They could make this 8 hours long and I'd watch it start to finish, right? But what do you say to that person who's, okay, it's Tom Hanks, it's Meryl Streep, so what?
They may not cheer like I did a couple of times, but it's still, Spielberg makes good movies. I mean, it's not dry at all. I mean, it's exciting, and he puts it all out. You know, he makes it exciting. I'm sure that they play with time, you know, and some of that stuff to make it a little more dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
But it did happen really fast. I mean, they, you know, it, and even, you know, maybe it is a spoiler, but I don't think history is not necessarily a spoiler. I've seen people say that, like, well, we don't say how Julius Caesar ends. It's like, hey, come on. You know?
Here's how Titanic. We're not going to talk about the end of Titanic. So, you know. Just pretend it didn't happen.
But I mean, certainly there are probably a lot of people who don't know how this turns out. But, man, when she makes her decision, I just wanted to. And Streep is great. It also turns out to be, I mean, this movie's timely in so many ways. Catherine Graham took over from her husband, Donald, who killed himself. And she was treated, even though she was the publisher of the paper, you know, by all the white men that run the board and everything, just sort of an afterthought. They just wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. And this was her real coming of age. I mean, it was her decision ultimately whether they were going to publish this thing or not. And nobody on that board wanted to publish it. I mean, they wanted to, you know, play it safe. They were happy with, although Bradley wasn't, with covering stories of Trisha Nixon's wedding.
It's
riveting. I mean, the way that Spielberg does it, he makes it a real thriller.
All right. Did you speak to anybody about this film?
I talked to Bob Odenkirk, who plays one of the assistant managing editors. And he's mostly known for comedy, although now he's in Better Call Saul and he was in Breaking Bad. But before that, he was in shows like Mr. Show and these sort of funny, absurd things. And he's really funny. And I talked to him and I said, I loved Mr. Show, but there you are, like, carrying the weight against Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep. And he laughed, and he said, are you saying that it's weird? And I said, well, sort of. He said, I think it's weird. he said, I can't believe it either. And it's like, well, there you are.
All right.
It's really good.
All right. We'll move on from there then. You spoke with Christian Bale. Christian Bale, I've had a chance. He had a sports movie, a boxing movie years and years ago. I forget the name of it. You may remember. He was an odd duck, I think is the only way to put it. Was fine enough to deal with, but you spoke with Christian Bale. How was that? How was his movie?
His movie's pretty good. It's called Hostiles, and it's sort of what you would think of as kind of a neo-Western or something. He plays a guy who is a Civil War veteran and a veteran of the Indian Wars, and he hates Native Americans. Not necessarily as, there's no other way to think of it as racist, I guess, but it's been his job to kill them for, like, most of his life. And for his last assignment, they say, you gotta take this chief home to die. He's dying of cancer, and we've changed politically, and the president wants it done. So he has to take him, and they face all these things, and you know, it's predictable in some ways. Of course, he comes around a little bit, but it sort of blames everybody for everything in this movie. But he's great. He's a great actor. He is a different kind of guy. I've talked to him three times, I think, and one of the things that always surprises people when they talk to him or when they hear him do these is that he's Welsh, and he has a pretty thick Welsh accent. Mm-hmm. As you know, he does a great American accent. Most people don't know that, but he was there. The interview with this time was done with the guy who helped do the Cheyenne language with him. It was a chief in the Cheyenne tribe, and he kind of a weird interview because I didn't know the guy was going to be on there, and I didn't really know what to ask him.
Yeah.
He turned out to be more of a spiritual advisor, which is sort of interesting, but I did not know it was going to go that way, you might say.
You don't sound as thrilled about this one as you do The Post.
No. I mean, The Post you have to see, and you have to see it now. The Post, one of the reasons that The Post feels like such an urgent movie is because it was. Spielberg's big movie comes out in the spring called Ready Player One, and it's got a lot of special effects. So while he was waiting for the special effects to be made for that, he basically knocked this thing out. he called the trusted friends like Tom Hanks, and he'd never worked the street before, but he got her. And I think everybody felt this urgency. It's like, wow, we are under attack. We need to get this movie made. And it really feels that way. I mean, I can't wait for you to see it and talk to you about it.
All right. I owe you lunch. Before you get out of here, though, Trump is supposedly going to attend Alabama against Georgia on Monday night. He has yet to go to a major sporting event that I'm aware of or I'm forgetting, other than he plays golf all the time. So if
he went to a golf match, yeah.
I mean, if you're doing a show today, would you be talking about Trump going to Alabama, Georgia?
I don't know. I mean, Obama went to, you know, Obama and Clinton would always go to Georgetown games. Bush famously threw out the first pitch in the World Series.
Yeah. But should Trump be more focused on North Korea today? Or is North Korea just always going to be there and you should just go to a football game?
I think if we can keep his focus away from North Korea, we're all a lot safer. send him to all the sports.
Go golf every day, right?
Right now, is it bowling season? Keep him off of Twitter. No, I think he should go. I mean, those guys, the same as you and I, can pretty much do our jobs from anywhere. If I can write a story in the stands of my kid's basketball game,
yep.
I'm pretty certain that they can run the country from just about anywhere.
No, that's true. I bet the Trump-Bannon feud to me is, if I'm doing a show just general interest today, I'm doing Trump-Bannon probably.
Yeah, that's a good one. Those are two people. I used to think that it'd be fun to have, you know, like Nick Saban and Urban Meyer tie their wrists together and give them each a sock full of manure and just go at it. I'd be happy to do that with that'd be fun to do with Bannon and Trump too, I think. Yeah.
Let you go off that. Let's be in touch, okay? I'll let you go off that. See
all
ya.
Right.
Bye. Here's Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies. Bill and I spoke about a week ago where he said, yeah, I want to try doing a radio show. And you have some advice and come on in. And so he's a little shy about it. So I'm trying to, and look, I'm an open book to you guys. So I'm trying to push Bill a little bit. He could do it. I would have to have a different producer for Bill, though. I would have to have somebody that's just green, that would have no idea. That would be Eric. Would you want that one, or You got a story to go tell if Bill's going to come in and do an hour once a week?
Let me sit on that over the weekend.
You would sit on that one over the weekend?
I'll get back to you.
Yeah, maybe I don't know. I think he'd be great. He just needs needs reps. All of us. All right, so tonight we've got basketball. We've got ASU. We've got U of A. The Coyotes are back in action against Nashville. The Suns last night just blew. I mean, they blew. They couldn't play defense to save their lives. They led in the first half. And this whole nonsense about, well, it was a back-to-back. There's not that many back-to-backs anymore. Boston ripped Cleveland last night. Well, it was a back-to-back. Tough. Deal with it. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. Eric Sorensen produces, as always. Check out all of our content over on our website, sports360az.com. We tape this show every day, Monday through Thursday. We do this show at 10 a.m. live, and then it plays all day and all night. We appreciate you listening to the podcast, sharing it, and letting people know about it. We are self-funded, too. That means people that you see these commercials, they believe in what we're doing, and we appreciate them for doing so. Have a great day.